People in places like Bangladesh and Pakistan shook their heads at the cluelessness of Americans who suddenly woke up to climate change when Sandy came to town. Similarly, people living in hot spots of violence around the world have every right to be shaking their heads in the wake of the Newtown massacre at the collective American refusal to see and understand how we are the cause of our own misery. The U.S. is the largest arms manufacturer and exporter in the world. We have by far the largest military. We are also by far the most heavily armed civilian population in the world, with some 300 million guns circulating among our population of about 300 million people. Americans, we need to acknowledge that collectively, as a nation, we have been responsible for hundreds and probably thousands of deaths of innocent children worldwide through the weapons we sell abroad. There's not a conflict in the world today that has not been fueled by American weaponry. It is hypocritical to weep crocodile tears for the slaughter of innocent children in a kindergarten in Connecticut, but to callously ignore the slaughter of innocent children by American drone fire in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. We need to start connecting the dots and realizing that the violence we mete out to the world will come back to haunt us a thousandfold. I'm not just talking about gun violence or missiles. I'm talking about the violence of inhuman labor practices and poverty, leading to rage that is sometimes turned inward, as in the spikes of farmer suicides due to heavy-handed Monsanto tactics in places like India and South Korea, and sometimes turned outward, as in the terrorist strikes against targets inside the U.S. or at our representatives abroad. I'm talking about the violence Western-style development has wreaked on the natural world, which is now boomeranging back to slam us against the wall of a destabilized climate. If you create lethal weapons and spread them widely among the populace, you should not be surprised when they discharge and kill people. If you overheat the climate and bulldoze all the trees, you should not be surprised at the deadly droughts, wildfires, storms, and temperature swings that result. Back in the 19th century, Charles Darwin taught us to understand that competition is good, that the strongest and fittest will survive, and that if the weak perish, it's all for the best. It was a perfect rationale for the capitalist-imperialist narrative of the past 500 years, domination as evolution at gunpoint and bulldozer blade. Would Darwin look out at today's dangerous world and proclaim serenely that the coming population drop of humans due to violence of our own making is simply part of the grand scheme of evolution? If the answer is yes, does this mean that we should just sit back and watch it all unfold with detachment? I don't think so. I believe it's the great task of our generation to meet the violence of our time with unwavering, clear-eyed resistance. To a large extent, the damage has already been done. The guns are circulating out there in the world. The nuclear plants are whirring. The oil and gas rigs are pumping. The myriad plants and creatures with whom we grew up in our era on the planet are disappearing. Pandora's box is wide open, and the furies have been released in the world. We may not be able to get them back, but we can continue to insist that they do not represent us. We can continue to stand as beacons to another mode of living, based not on competition and aggressiveness, but on collaboration and respect. As we move through the darkest weeks of the year, let us not give up hope that as the planet swings back towards the sun, we can collectively climb up out of the abyss of violence and pain and unite around the finest human values of life, peace, and love for our fellow human beings and for the planet as a whole.